Keith Gill again with the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality. And this is our press briefing over the Pavilion Groundwater Report final study. And as you might remember, we released the draft report back in 2015 in December. And this is a result of the public comments we received and finalizing the report. Today, we will be releasing the report following this press conference or this press briefing. They will be available on our website, and I will be putting it out with a press release as well. Joining me here today is the Water Quality Division, Kevin Frederick. He's our administrator for water quality, as well as our groundwater staff as well, as they will be providing any type of technical additional input on the questions for the press. Again, this is for the press to be able to ask any questions, but we do realize that you'll need some time to look this over, and you'll have additional questions possibly next week. Do keep in mind we will be hosting a public open house in December to be able to answer any questions from the public and the press, as they will, I'm sure they will be having some more. I do want to recognize a few groups that are listening in today. The Oil and Gas Conservation Commission is listening in, as well as the Powder River Basin Resource Council. I believe Jill Morrison is listening in. And then also Encana is also listening in on the press briefing. So without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and kind of give a briefing on this. I'm going to introduce Kevin Frederick with our Water Quality Division.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us today on this press briefing. Today I'm going to be going over a fair amount of the material that I believe you've already been provided in the fact sheet, or if not, will be provided after the conference call here. Well, let me start out by covering a little bit of background information, first of all. The final report and fallibility study that DEQ is releasing today provides the results of the investigation into drinking water quality issues in the Pavilion gas field area east of the town of Pavilion, Wyoming. It's important to note that the town of Pavilion water wells itself are not the focus of this study, are not included as part of the focus of this study, because there are no water quality issues associated with the town's drinking water supply wells. The investigation that we followed is essentially in accordance with the process outlined in a June 20th, 2013 framework document that was agreed to by the state of Wyoming, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and Encana, that essentially identified the focus of the work to be performed not only by DEQ but also by the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. It included the collection of water quality and operational data for 13 water supply wells. Including domestic irrigation and stock wells. The purpose was to essentially assess water quality and identify parameters or conditions that might cause palatability or toxicity issues with respect to those water wells. Work also included an evaluation of the integrity of nearby oil and gas wells within 1,420 feet, as well as the historic use of surface pits in that same range in the Pavilion gas field area. That work was performed by the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission and also considered as part of DEQ's analysis and final report. As many of you know, legislation was enacted a few years ago for the Pavilion East Water Supply Project, a Level 3 project by the Wyoming Water Development Commission, authorizing the installation of cistern water supply systems to landowners within the Pavilion gas field area that expressed an interest. The project began in 2014 and concluded in February of 2015. Just for a quick review, To date, a total of 31 cisterns for 28 landowners have been installed. The total amount spent on the project to date is over $900,000. For those landowners not participating in the cistern program, a bottled water delivery program was available and has been extended until March 31st of next year. The delivery program currently serves 11 homeowners. Over the past few years, 27 surface pits in the Pavilion gas field area were originally entered into DEQ's voluntary remediation program. 19 of those were subsequently withdrawn because they were determined to fall under oil and gas conservation and regulatory authority for investigation. 8 pits remained in the voluntary remediation program for further investigation. 4 of the 8 have been granted a certificate of completion. 4 of the remaining sites are currently under investigation in the voluntary remediation program here at DEQ. As part of this effort and the sampling of the 13 water supply wells, over 11,700 analytical results were reviewed. Of those, only 8 were rejected due to QAQC, or Quality Assurance Quality Control Guidelines. We analyzed over 160 chemical compounds, cations, anions, and metals, and also dissolved gases. Final report, including lab results, is over 80,000 pages. And the cost for this phase of the Pavilion work done by DEQ has exceeded $900,000. So in the interim, between the draft report's release and today's release of the final report, we'd like to point out a few things that have changed. Let me first remind you that DEQ received comments on the draft report from 38 entities, including private citizens, industry, and governmental organizations, as well as industry organizations. Based on these comments, changes were incorporated in the final report, which improved, we believe, the overall quality of the product. And I'd like to just highlight some of those changes. Changes were necessary to address any errors identified in the report. For instance, one commenter referenced the water well that was tested that, when we investigated and looked into the comment further, identified that it was mislabeled in the report. That was a correction that had to be made. No modifications changed the initial conclusions drawn in the draft report. Overall, clarification was added to improve the reader's ability to better understand and follow the analysis and interpretation applied by DEQ and its contractor, AME. Following the release of our draft report in December of 2015, we updated our drinking water equivalent level in the tables to the draft report. And the reason for the update was that there had been some modifications to toxicological data published by US EPA or regional screening levels that warranted an adjustment in the calculation of our drinking water equivalent level. And I'll just review that a little bit more detail for you. 26 of those drinking water equivalent levels were changed, 15 of those decreased, 11 of them increased. In most cases where the DWEL, or the drinking water equivalent level, was updated, no additional compounds were detected above screening criteria. And one of the recommendations that you will see in our report is that we will perform additional sampling or specific chemical constituents and other compounds as necessary to achieve lower method detection limits, where those currently applied had not reached the level of the risk-based action level or DWEL. We don't expect to see any significant changes, but that is a data gap that we identified and we are going to be working towards completing and filling. 2 additional recommendations were added in the final report that weren't included in the draft report. First, DEQ and the Oil and Gas Commission will hold collaborative discussions to evaluate consistent criteria for the closure of pits impacting groundwater. I think both of our organizations realize that that is to the benefit of all of us to make sure that we've got consistent criteria that are applied both by DEQ and the Oil and Gas Commission in determining whether pit closures have been completed improperly or whether further investigation work needs to be done. The second additional recommendation you'll see in the final report is that the US EPA should plug and abandon the two monitoring wells constructed in 2010 in accordance with our plug and abandonment requirements. We're concerned with the installation and construction materials that were used in completing those wells for groundwater monitoring purposes, and we're also concerned they may pose a potential hazard due to possible methane gas buildup in those wells. We don't believe they serve any purpose for monitoring groundwater in the future. Moving on to the key findings, these are essentially identical to those that were identified and presented in the draft report, and I'll review those quickly with you. Based upon our sampling of the 13 water supply wells in June and August of 2014, we found one pesticide and a phthalate ester organic compound that exceeded the applicable drinking water standards. Those were the only two organic compounds that we found in our analysis that exceeded an action level. The phthalate compound is used as a plasticizer in flexible PVC plastics and is also a common laboratory contaminant. Inorganic compounds that were found over applicable drinking water standards are generally associated with naturally occurring salts, metals, and radionuclides. Industrial applications may use some of these same compounds. For example, oil and gas drilling mud contains fluoride and potassium. Back on the organic constituents, all of those that were identified in samples at concentrations less than the action level may have originated from a multitude of possible sources, including spills, oil and gas activities, ag chemical applications, and other residential and industrial uses. None of those exceeded the drinking water action level. Evidence doesn't indicate that hydraulic fracturing fluids have risen to shallow depths utilized by the water supply wells, as we stated in our draft report. Based on an evaluation of hydraulic fracturing history and methods used in the Pavilion gas field, it's unlikely that hydraulic fracturing has caused any impacts to the water supply wells. Methane gas in the formation in which the water supply wells and the gas production wells within the Pavilion gas field appears to have originated mainly from upward migration from deeper commercial gas-bearing zones, and evidence suggests that upward gas seepage or gas charging or shallow sands was happening naturally before gas well development. The lines of evidence to support that analysis are very well explained in the final report. Some gas wells are experiencing slow gas seepage. The relative contribution of potential gas seepage along gas wells versus natural upward migration of gas is undefined and would be very difficult to quantify. Water quality in the intermediate zone, that zone between the depths of the water supply wells and the gas production intervals that lie deeper, is expected to be different than in the shallow water bearing zones. And therefore, communication between the two zones could introduce water per quality into the shallow water-bearing zones. Sustained pressures in several gas wells provide an indication that gas and possibly liquid migration may be happening. However, there's no evidence this migration has caused water quality issues in the water supply well. presence of bacteria in many of the water supply wells suggests that this may be a cause of taste and odor issue, as well as the presence of some other constituents such as sulfates. Limited baseline water quality data predating development of the Pavilion gas field hinders reaching firm conclusions on causes and effects of reported water quality changes. Moving ahead and identifying recommendations for future investigations. These include expanded evaluation of identified groundwater constituents, including bacteria, which can cause palatability issues. A focused assessment of the potential for gas seepage along gas wells versus naturally occurring upward seepage of gas, as well as evaluating conditions that might allow the potential movement of gas and/or liquid from intermediate zones pressurized by gas into shallower water-bearing zones. Further evaluation of other potential sources of petroleum hydrocarbons, such as drill cuttings, disposal sites, petroleum storage tanks, and gas production and gathering facilities, and to initiate uncompleted recommendations identified in the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission's Well Integrity Review Report and PITS Report, and perform further evaluation of potential well integrity concerns for selected gas wells. We acknowledge concurrence with the pit review report's recommendations that further investigation of numerous closed pits is needed. As Keith mentioned, DEQ and the Oil and Gas Commission are planning to hold a public open house in Riverton in early December. The meeting is intended to provide an opportunity for the public and other interested parties to obtain clarification regarding information included in the final report. We'll be posting a copy of the final report to our website today. We've developed plans here at DEQ to issue a scope of work for additional sampling and analysis of water supply wells within the gas field in order to apply lab methods that have sufficiently low method detection limits to allow us to essentially address the data gap that I spoke about earlier. And then finally, working in collaboration with the Oil and Gas Commission, begin to work toward development of plans and schedules for proceeding with implementation of the Oil and Gas Commission and DEQ recommendations in the final report.
That being said, we'll open this up for questions from the press if you folks have any.
Sir, yeah, I have a question. This is Dan Benson from the Riverton Ranger. Kevin, when you were discussing the distinction of whether methane has the methane occurring has come from upward movement or whether it's come from hydraulic fracking, you mentioned that in the final report the reasons for that conclusion are amply stated. Is that something additional from the draft report?
No, I believe there's been some clarifying language added with respect to gas seepage along well bores to help better articulate and understand the analysis. But other than that, the conclusions haven't changed.
Okay. So then the other thing I wanted to ask is, in the comments that you guys received, the EPA wasn't critical at all about the data that you provided and praised you for it, but did question the conclusions that were drawn from that data and said that because there isn't enough historical data to say, you know, to really definitively say what the presence of naturally occurring methane was in the area or how it's changed over the years, it's not possible to conclude then that this is definitively from just naturally occurring upward seepage, nor could it not be exacerbated by fracking. At least that's how I read their column is that, you know, there isn't historical data to that you can really draw that conclusion. So I wonder what was the thinking, if that really held any weight for you guys when you were finalizing, or I guess what your response to that criticism is.
We'll refer you to the responses to comments, to EPA's comments on the draft report that we hope to have up later on today. I think in our analysis, again, evidence suggests that upward gas seepage is happening naturally before gas well development. We cite instances in which that's been documented. And with respect to the 13 water supply wells as part of the investigation, it's very difficult to conclude with any absolute certainty any changes over time, because we just simply do not have the baseline data from those wells.
This is Stephanie. Let me just ask a follow-up on that. If I remember correctly, in the draft report, really the only evidence you cited for historical gas migration, not through oil and gas wells, was a few, you know, anecdotes from back in the day, pre-oil and gas development. Can you be more specific about how you came to find that was conclusive evidence? Because I believe that was what the EPA criticized, is that, you know, it's anecdotal evidence that really isn't backed up by any data.
I can speak to that a little bit. I'm not sure what they mean by anecdotal evidence. It was essentially cited in a published federal report by the Bureau of Reclamation.
This is Nate Gruber at AP. Kevin, can you speak a little bit to the recommendation to plug and cap the EPA wells, and what specifically is of concern there with safety and contamination potential?
I think the safety concern is, again, concern that there may be methane gas buildup in the wells. They're essentially unprotected. And regarding the concern with construction and so forth, it's not necessary so much with contamination of the aquifer as it is suitability for monitoring purposes, to collect water quality data that looks for constituents at very, very low parts per billion concentrations. A particular concern to us was that the monitoring wells were constructed using what's known in the industry as black pipe. It was our understanding initially that the wells were to be constructed using essentially casing that had no coating. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. These monitoring wells were constructed with black coating. Our analysis indicates that the coating is essentially used to help discourage rust from developing on the outside of the casing and so forth. Unfortunately, the coating in many cases contains petroleum hydrocarbons. And it's a concern to us that during the installation, some of that material may have actually become dislodged while the casing was being installed, and ended up in the water samples that were being taken. The installation of the wells did not include a sand pack above the perforated interval of the well as required by our regulations. And the purpose of that sand pack is to essentially provide a cushion or a barrier between the perforated interval and the bentonite grout that's placed above the sand to seal off the annular space in between the casing and the well bore. And in the absence of that sand pack, the bentonite or grout material is not restricted from essentially coming into contact with the screened interval, where you're essentially monitoring contents of the bentonite grout as part of your water supply analysis. The intention is to make sure that those materials are clearly separated, the grout from the screened interval. So there are concerns along those lines. And I think if you will go back and take a look at the USGS reports with respect to sampling those two wells after the EPA draft report came out, they clearly identify issues with not being able to collect representative samples from monitor well one, or excuse me, monitor well two. And really throws into question the efficacy of collecting reliable, representative water quality results from those two wells.
Okay, so it certainly sounds like when you call for plugging and abandoning those wells, that's underlying or putting an exclamation point even on your thoughts about the data from those wells, right?
That's absolutely right.
Now that you are plugging those wells, do you have any plans to install new monitoring wells? There was a peer-reviewed study released this spring that showed there has been fracking directly into aquifers in the Wind River Formation, and that study suggested that some of those fluids could migrate upwards into areas tapped for water wells in the future. Are you planning to install monitoring wells to see, you know, if that is the case?
Just for clarification, no. We aren't going to be plugging and abandoning. By that, I mean the EQ. We're recommending that EPA does that. EPA installed the monitoring well. We believe it's their responsibility to plug and abandon it. Regarding the other question with respect to monitoring wells, I believe in the recommendations you'll see with respect to further investigation of the pits, monitoring wells are at least recommended for consideration. Certainly in those instances where pits are within the voluntary remediation program, monitoring wells will be part of the investigation there. The Oil and Gas Commission recommendations also include consideration for installation of additional monitoring wells in the proximity of, I believe, three gas wells, if I'm not mistaken.
Kevin, this is Dan from the Ranger again. You noted that there is a need for more study of the gas pits in the area, but you have determined that methane contamination is most likely from upward seepage. Does that mean that you don't think it's possible that gas pits could or have contributed to methane contamination? And if so, why is that?
The gas pits themselves?
Yes.
Yeah. You have to understand that the methane gas that we're talking about here is normally in dissolved within formation water. And once it essentially comes into contact with the atmosphere, it volatilizes and it's gone. So you wouldn't really expect to see methane issues associated with the pits themselves.
What about, Andrew here from WildFowl, what about other contaminants from the pits?
Yeah, as we recommend in the report, and as the Oil and Gas Commission recommends as well, those need to be looked at more closely.
So there's no conclusion about whether or not other contaminants from the pits could have led to problems in the water wells?
No, we aren't finding evidence of pits in our investigation under the voluntary remediation program of any impacts to water well.
You do find that some gas wells may be leaking, though. What are you doing about those leaky wells?
Nothing.
Sorry, was there an answer there?
No, I guess I'd just refer you again to the recommendations and conclusions in the Oil and Gas Commission Well Integrity Report. I think it gets into those details.
Stephanie referenced that peer-reviewed study that came out this spring. It was in the Journal of Environmental Science and Technology. And that study, if I understood it correctly, did conclude that there was impact to underground water sources because of fracturing. And I'm wondering if that conclusion was incorporated into your report at all, or how you responded to that. And I assume that'll be in the comments as well, but if you could touch on it now.
We haven't finalized the response to that particular article yet, but that will be forthcoming at a point in the future. That article, by the way, was released after the public comment period had closed. But we'll be providing a response to it.
Yeah, any kind of timeline?
Can't give you a hard date now, but it'll be in the very near term.
Anyone else have any additional questions? Okay, well, with that, we want to thank everyone for joining us. We will be getting out the final report on our website here within the next hour, and we'll put out a press release as well. Hey, if you have any additional questions, please don't hesitate to call me, 777-6105. I'll certainly try to help you as much as possible. And again, we'll be here all week, so please give us a call next week if you have any. Well, I'll be here all next week. So
not here.
No, not here tomorrow, but next week. So please give me a call if you have additional questions. Once again, thank you.
Real quick, Kevin, can I just get you to – I kind of missed at the end when you introduced yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kevin Frederick, the administrator of the Water Quality Division here at DEQ.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
All right. Bye.